Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Going Long with Joe and Paul. On this episode, a look at the models. Are they showing big troughs in the West? Teleconnections, are they all different? And a mid-May Omega block and a pattern from mid to late May. Now, here they are, meteorologist Paul Pastelak and Joe Lundberg.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Going Long with Joe and Paul. It is a Tuesday, actually, recording. We're doing it a day early because I don't know about you, Joe, but my schedule is full Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's amazing how you go from just a couple things to, like, completely full in just a matter of a day.
Doesn't take much, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And when you're throwing hot topics out like the summer forecast and the wildfire forecast, everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to know. And I'm so tempted to say, you know, from quoting a forecaster of the past, read my blog.
Yeah, I understand where you're going on that one.
And I totally get it from what he used to say it all the time. I totally get it.
Yep.
So, but anyway, you know, we are looking at a very difficult pattern here in the month of May, Joe. And I we're not the only ones, forecasters that are very uncertain about certainties. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things where you kind of just put both of them together. But other forecasters reading on Twitter, too, are still, you know, they're just not throwing things out. They're very nervous about this pattern, how things are going to work out here.
And one of the things that you touched on, you know, we had a team map discussion earlier this morning. And one of the things that I picked up on was water temperature changes that are being forecast in the Eastern Pacific and how that may throw a bit of a monkey wrench into, you know, earlier forecasts as we go forward into the heart of the summer season, right?
You know, we go back to late October, November, and the water temperature anomalies, maybe not the actual readings, but the anomalies, okay, when you compare it to normal, to the actual, look very similar to what they are now, to what was back in the late fall. And we all know what happened in the Northwest in California in the late fall. We had an atmospheric river, tremendous amount of moisture that came into that region and kept, you know, the storminess going for a little while. And I just, again, I'm reading discussions. I read the NIFC, the National, I forget what this, their entire title, but it has to do with the wildfire forecast
right.
That come out at the beginning of the month. And they're kind of poo-pooing any precipitation late May into June across the Northwest. And I'm not in agreement with that, Joe. I just think that there's going to be some unusual precipitation makers. And this time of the year, when things are trying to dry out, especially east of the Cascades, we saw a few years back what happened near San Francisco with the thunderstorms igniting large fires. Very concerned that we could have some weird weather happening in those dry spots, just the dry spots, not all the Northwest, but those dry spots got to be under risk for anything early that could try to develop there.
Well, if you look at a typical, you know, early summer weather pattern, you tend to have some sort of continental ridge, you know, whether it's over the Rockies, whether it's over the plains, where it's a little farther east. You know, it's somewhere in that general neighborhood. There's some sort of ridging with, you know, a southwest flow aloft, but the jet stream generally retreating, which allows the interior, you know, the Northwest to start drying out and to start warming up. So that's what you would typically see. But you're suggesting that the pattern may not look like that, that ridge may be farther displaced, and there may be some troughing that comes through those areas, which would open up the door to some moisture from the Pacific, no?
You know, I mean, I could see some episodes where the ridge does pop in parts of the Rockies and the Western Plains, and I see it. I can see it happening. But there's also going to be some times where it gets knocked down, and I think that's a perfect example, maybe to more of extreme level now, happening here over the next 7 to 10 days, because it looks like we're going to see still some mega upper level systems coming into the Western U.S. and then rotating out, and then another one following.
Yep.
And that's going to continue all the way into next week. Now, take that version add another few weeks onto that, that should be lifting up to the north, toward the northwest. And I think that's the kind of version we're going to see, lifting up into Western Canada. So I do see some sort of that, but I just don't know how quick the ridge is going to try to build in the southwest. I mean, it should. I mean, things are very, very dry and getting hotter and hotter, and, you know, the seasonal change. You would think that we'd start seeing higher pressure aloft getting stronger and stronger there, Joe.
You know, maybe it's one of those things where, you know, the same said forecaster, you know, used to say often a lot, delayed, you know, but not denied.
Right.
You know, and quite often you see these patterns in the teleconnections, you see these patterns in the analogs, and you say, all right, this is what should happen based on, you know, X, Y, and Z, but it ends up being a couple of weeks later than what you think. It happens, but it doesn't happen when you think it does, which, of course, that throws all your monthly averages off. You know, you might be forecasting, you know, a warm anomaly, but all of a sudden that ridge doesn't develop until 2 weeks later. So that means the cooler air lingers in that particular area for an extra couple of weeks. So it skews your numbers off. But, you know, you get the pattern right, but you get the timing of it off, and it throws all the numbers off.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, let's talk first of all about the La Nina. I read a tweet a couple of days ago, and we don't get the monthly values or the current values of La Nina. We get mostly the 3 month averages, and the 3 month averages look very close to last year's trend. But when you look at the individual late April numbers for La Nina, it's still at -1.1, which is a moderate La Nina. We're still in moderate stage right now.
Mid to late spring.
Yeah, this is getting late for this to happen. And so what kind of influence does that have on the overall pattern? How does that is that added to the debate, the discussion that we are off? We are a little bit late in the transition period here of spring going into summer, Joe.
Which then, you know, would throw off what you were thinking in terms of the summer pattern evolution. You know, it may not happen as quickly as what you're saying. And you start to get some other things into the mix that, you know, I could see how a situation like in the Northwest, where instead of these, you know, troughs coming in, you get closed lows of detachments from the jet stream that sit over there. And that in and of itself, you get something like that. And there's just enough moisture in the atmosphere to produce instability, to produce thunderstorms, but you may not get much rain from that. So in the areas where it's dried out, that could be an ignition for forest fires or something like that were to happen.
Right, exactly. Now, this goes all the way back to when we put the summer forecast, and even when we put the spring forecast together as well. My argument is that not the traditional transition, okay? Let's go differently. And I know there's a lot of people that use climatology and statistics out there. And I think that this is a year that they may fall short of getting the forecasts completely right in some areas because of the fact that this is abnormal. I think there are some different things that are going on, that the Northwest stays wetter into June. Now, I get that the normals are coming down and it won't take much to get an above normal in the Pacific Northwest, but I do think they end up being a bit above normal and precip in the Pacific Northwest. And also on the other side of the United States, I still think, and I know that we had a meeting just a little while ago with Joe Bauer, and he was explaining his warm-up theory in the cool downs. I still think that June, there's still some troughiness, mean troughiness for the month of June, maybe some ups and downs during the month of June, but we just can't get over the hump, I think. It's one of those things where we flirt at it in the Great Lakes, Ohio Valley, Northeast, but we just don't get quite over it. And so it's good and bad. Do we get exceptional heat for many days in a row? Probably not in the Northeast.
Probably not.
But do we have some cool downs that are significant behind cold fronts that knock us down at night? And, you know, the pool lovers and the beach lovers are saying, this is too cool to go in the water. You know, we could have a couple yeah. days like that.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. And I agree with you on the overall lack of sustainable heat as we go into June. But I do think that there's going to be some opportunities where you're going to get a few day run where it is going to be above normal, where you're going to get some 80s and you say, all right, finally, we've got, you know, the shackles of, you know, winter and you know, and spring, you know, or throwing them off. And all of a sudden you get another front that comes down or an upper level low or, you know, some sort of weak trough that comes through, but it brings back the cool air once again and say, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, let's get back to May here because there are some interesting things going on. Going into next week, and like we kind of hinted at this already earlier in the podcast, that there looks like there's more of this upper level energy coming out of the Rockies and lifting out into the plains. That could spell trouble as far as some rain for actually not trouble. They're actually good things because of some of the drier areas in the western high in the high plains could get some more rain. We just had over a foot of snow in parts of western Nebraska from this last system, right, Joe?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've been off for a few days, so I haven't seen all the details on that, but I've just seen some of the a few posts of it that, you know, the highways were shut down for a little while from the late season snow. But yeah, you know, to get some moisture in those areas would be a good thing. Any place, pretty much any place, you know, from the western plains, West Texas, all the way to the West Coast, any place you can get some rain, it's a good thing right now, considering how dry most of these areas are.
Right. And of course, some severe weather. But we're also, with these slow movement of these storms, there could be some flooding areas too. We can't pinpoint them right now. But a zone to watch is like what, from Missouri up to does it get all the way up to Pennsylvania, or is it more in the Tennessee Valley, lower Ohio?
I think it's more Ohio Valley and Tennessee Valley. You know, I concern for, you know, Springfield, maybe as far south as Little Rock, definitely up to Chicago, and then over towards Cincinnati. I think that's the area of greatest concern where you would have some flooding with these slow moving systems. And it's going to make for a very cool Mother's Day weekend in the Eastern Seaboard. That's for darn sure. It tries to warm up a little bit west of the Appalachians as clouds begin to break for some sun. But, you know, pretty much any place east of the Mississippi, it's not going to be warm this weekend.
And so we get through next week and we looked at some of the longer range modeling going to week three. And there is a change. You know, I don't know how much you can trust some of these models the way they've been, but it does show that maybe the West starts warming up again. And the upper level low pattern doesn't dig as far south, Joe. And we're kind of changing the pattern just a little bit going to week three of May.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we're going to get the ridging that I think does show itself next week, you know, from the Mississippi Valley and even Eastern Plains to the Appalachians. So you're going to get the warm up there. But you were talking about, you know, off air before we started the podcast that may morph into, you know, kind of ridging that goes over the top, you know, kind of, you know, builds up into Eastern Canada and you get the weakness underneath it. And we're getting, you're talking now third week of May. It's the time of the year where you start saying, all right, if there's a weakness, you know, underneath a ridge off the southeast coast, do you start thinking something tropical?
Right. Because you'll probably have two upper level highs separated at one point, one over the southwest, warming those areas, unfortunately getting drier and providing, support for more wildfire risks there. But at the same time, like you said, Joe, another area breaking out to the north and eastern Canada, forcing things underneath in between the two upper level highs that kind of go down toward the Gulf of Mexico or the southwest Atlantic. And then we got also another thing we got to bring into the pattern. We're talking about, first of all, snow. We're talking about thunderstorms and severe weather. We're talking about rain, flooding. Now we got to introduce the possibility of maybe some tropical activity. And we know that we've had some type of system in the Atlantic Basin seems like every year, I think since 2015, developing before June 1st, maybe again, we continue that streak going here this year.
Yeah, I could see how there could be some beneficial aspects of it. Typically systems, you know, in the early season are weak. They're generally not hurricanes. If we were to have an impact on Florida, it could bring them some much needed rain down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the west side of the peninsula, that is still endangered for some fires. And if we get one of these systems to kind of sit there, then we can eliminate that possibility. I still have something hanging on for the chance into June there, but that could be eliminated from one storm. We really need something to just kind of sit there and give them some moisture, whether it's an upper level system or a tropical system that can just kind of wipe that area out right now.
As exactly far as right. That doesn't need deficit, to be it doesn't need to be a tropical storm or anything like that. Right. This could be a wave of low pressure, a trough of any kind,
right,
that just produces enough instability to enhance rainfall in those areas. And that would definitely help them out. I don't see any of that getting back to Texas at this point in time. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think South Texas Rio Grande Valley and Points West, they're in dire need of rain, and I just don't see it happening right now.
Yeah, everything keeps lifting out. I just don't see it at this point. There's nothing really set up right yet here in May for that to happen. So I don't think you're going to get it in May. But again, you never know with a La Nina pattern and tendency to have a little bit more on what we call a negative NAO, a little blocking, could force a flatter upper high across the Atlantic. And that could, if we get any decent waves early on in the season cutting across the Atlantic, the tendency is to kind of send them, especially climatology says that anyway, through the Caribbean and the Southern Gulf. And that would be your best opportunity heading into June across that area. But again, that's a long shot, and you can't forecast exactly when that's going to happen at this point.
No, I wouldn't put much hope on that right now for those poor folks. I mean, eventually, you know, that's how they could probably bust the drought down there, or at least make a big dent in it, is something coming in from the tropics. But I think in the short term, certainly in the next few weeks, that's just very, very unlikely for those folks.
Although they've gotten some rain in West Texas, it's been very spotty. I know that we've talked to some people. One of our team, long range team members, talked to some farmers out there saying that the parts of the area, the wheat is, it's just done. I mean, they're planting cotton, but there's literally not a whole lot of hope for it as far as the price goes. So, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable.
And that's going to have an effect on commodity prices going forward, most likely.
Yeah. And the next thing will be corn. I mean, our summer forecast is got a risk in there that we're concerned that the heat and dryness could expand into the Midwest during the time of, what was that stage that, you know, Dale was saying at the map discussion, it's kind of the height of the growing part. You know, you're starting to grow at that point, the corn, and you don't really want dryness. You want, you know, decent rain from time to time. And if that comes in, oh man, it is going to be crazy in the market on corn prices. So
that would not be good.
Not good. Anything else, Joe? I know we have the Omega block we talked about. I don't know if we want to get into that more. Just want to go right to the breakdown.
Let's just go right to the breakdown. Let's start in the West, where it looks like troughing is going to come to your to play a visit, and I think it's going to bring some unsettled weather to the Northwest. How far south does that get into California?
I think the San Joaquin Valley is one of the driest parts right now of California.
Yeah.
I just don't think anything gets down in there. I just, once you're that dry, I think you just stay dry and you don't forecast it until it actually happens. So
I can see some showers in the Sierra. I just don't know that much gets into the Valley.
Nah, it's just going to be really rough.
But I do think that snow levels will actually come down. So some of that moisture in the higher elevations could fall as some snow, which, you know, getting into mid-May, you know, that's not necessarily unusual, but, you know, usually you're starting to get, you know, pretty much into the beginning of the dry season. So I guess this is good news. You know, it can put at least some moisture into the aquifers and, you know, add to the water that's trying to, you know, be melted from the snowpack.
A lot of it to evaporate this year, you know, it melted so fast. I think there was the warmth that we saw in the months of late February and March kind of hurt a little bit. So, hopefully, yeah, any little bit extra here, we'll take it. In those, they're running below. So, of course.
But Southern California, eastern, arid, just very arid, and
wind
back and forth temperatures. But I think as we go, you know, toward the middle of the month, the second half of the month, I think it's just going to start getting really hot in those places.
Yeah, and just be careful of the wind events, because those, if there's any fires there going on, which
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, it'll kind of, it'll cause, you know, more spread, rapid spread. So it could be a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, that's something we put that on the back burner for next week. We'll talk about that. But, you know, that there's still this troughiness. There's energy coming through that trough, you know, and at this time of year, that means a lot of wind in, you know, in places that don't usually get it in May and into June. So, yeah, that could be a real big problem.
This could go down as one of the windiest I've seen in a while in the Southwest. I know they get windy in climatology, but this is the length of the wind events and the season has been incredible. Planes, do we continue to see more action a little farther west, generating some severe weather? We may have something coming up here this week, and then we'll have to see on the troughs coming in next week as well.
Yeah, I mean, you got the system that comes out of the Rockies Wednesday night into Thursday. There'll be some severe weather without question. That gets down into Texas, doesn't get to the Rio Grande Valley, but it could affect San Antonio. Dallas, for certain, I think, has got to be in that mix in Houston. And embedded within that is a flooding risk in areas that have been hit pretty hard in recent days with some heavy rain. That include maybe northern Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, into the Tennessee and Ohio valleys. Not sure that it makes it, you know, that type of rain manifests itself east of the Appalachians, but that's going to be a slow moving system that goes all over the east. Behind it, though, I think the ridge starts to develop and you get a period of drier weather, and it's going to flip to warm in these places that have been cool, cool, cool with not much warmth. They're going to have a warm period coming up starting probably Sunday and lasting into the middle of next week.
Yeah. So what are we on now? Again, still the plains? Or
we're still in the plains right now. Yeah. We didn't talk about the northern plains and Midwest, but I think the weather's active there.
Yeah.
I think Dale was talking about, you know, how it may again slow some of the late season planting in parts of the upper Midwest. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But I could see it being pretty active there with more of a southwest flow off and systems coming out of the Rockies and being spit out by that western trough through that area. And of course, at this time of the year, with the warmth building in from the south, some of that could very well be severe weather.
Right, exactly. And no, if it's not severe weather, we're probably talking about some flooding. These rivers are getting a little high. The Red River is running pretty high. Down towards northeast Arkansas, Missouri, we're starting to see the rivers coming up there as well. So two areas to watch going forward as far as rainfall goes in those regions.
All right, what about the east?
The east is, you know, it's interesting. You know, you get some wet weather. We got an ugly kind of Mother's Day weekend setting up, at least. Late Friday and Saturday looks the worst. Maybe the thing dives southward that New England spared on Sunday, but it's still cool. I mean, it's not going to be very warm, but the sun might be out a little bit.
Yeah, the place to be this weekend is in the east, northern Vermont, northern New York State, northern Maine, because it looks like the second system dives underneath them, and they actually get sunshine, and they start the slow warming process. I mean, it's not going to be warm, but if you've got dry weather and sunshine Saturday and Sunday, that's okay.
Yeah.
And then I think the ridging starts to build the next week, and you actually do see a transition to warmer weather finally.
Yeah, we see below normal temperatures end up for the entire week, I think, on average in the Northeast this week. Then it warms up to near to maybe slightly above normal next week. And then we're probably back down in some parts in week three. I don't know if it's the northern areas or that are in or southern areas. I think it's more likely the southern areas. Where
I think so, too. And, you know, I have to watch out for some, I don't know if it's a tropical system, some sort of hybrid low. But, you know, that high over low block as it begins to develop more toward the middle of the month, not next week, but, you know, late next week and into next weekend. You know, maybe some much needed rain for parts of the southeast and including Florida.
Maybe. Well, that about does it here for our edition here of Going Long with Joe and Paul. Thanks for listening to us here early in the week. We will be back next week, and we will have more information. Keep listening. Busy pattern here in May going into early June. And like Joe said, hey, maybe we're starting to talk about the tropics as we get into the middle part of May. Until then, you guys have a great week, great Mother's Day weekend, and we will see you next week.